Sometimes he whispers.
So I'll keep listening while I'm waiting on him. I'll choose to trust and believe.
Amen. Sometimes he just whispers. Are you listening for him this morning? Amen. All right. Let me make sure I'm on here, fellas. Take our Bibles this morning, and let's open to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. The book of Philippians, chapter 3 this morning. And I want to bring you a message that's heavy on my heart today. And it's going to be something that all of us we'll be able to use here in the next few weeks, and most of us even here this morning today. So I'd like you to take your Bible, open to the book of Philippians, chapter number 3. The book of Philippians, chapter number 3. The book of Philippians, chapter number 3. And we'll look here this morning. Some very, very, very well-known scripture in Philippians 3. Probably the most well-known, maybe in the book of Philippians, or second well-known. And then bring the message from that scripture this morning. It's verse 13. Now I'm going to preach this morning on the subject, the road to victory in the summer of 2015. The road to victory in the summer of 2015. How are you and I going to keep the victory this summer? How are we going to do it? How will we stay where God wants us to be? Maybe you're here this morning and you already feel like, preacher, I can feel that world pulling on me strong. I can feel the temptations of the world and the flesh and the devil all around me already, and it's just made. I've got a message for you this morning. And I love you, and I advise you to listen to what you're getting ready to hear. So I'm going to give you some good advice. How to the road to victory in summer of 2015. Now, I'm going to tell you something, people. A lot of you people in here this morning, you just on the verge of falling out. You're on the verge of getting out of church completely. It don't happen overnight. It happens over a period of time. And I'm going to warn you this morning, as your friend, take heed to God's Word. Look at verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You see three things in that scripture. You see, number one, you're going to have to forget the past. It said, forget what's past. Number two, you're going to have to face the prospects. That's reaching forth to those things that are ahead.
And number three, you're going to have to fight for the prize. I press toward the mark of the prize of the calling of God in Christ Jesus. If you're going to keep the victory this summer, you are going to have to, number one, forget the past. Number two, face the prospects. Number three, fight for the prize. I want you to listen. God's grace sent the gospel to Philippi, this little town, city here, that we call the book Philippians after, by the Apostle Paul. In Acts chapter 16, there was an obedient servant. That was Paul. There was an overpowering spirit. That was the Holy Ghost. And then there were opposing society, the heathen, that was around about it to stop this church from being established and kept it from prospering after it was established. Now, we need to understand this morning that we have an active enemy, the second highest power in the universe, working against us to keep us from living for God. You don't just get up every morning and automatically stay right with God and happy in the Lord and keep the victory. You must press toward the mark. You must fight for the prize. That's why God calls us soldiers. You have to fight. And if you're not willing to fight, you're never going to make it and stand true and right with God like you need to. You ought to be willing to fight. It's just like football. It's just like football. We're pushing that way and the enemy's pushing us back. We huddle, we get together, we snap the ball, and try to make a little progress. But the enemy's holding us back. And you fight for every inch of ground you get in your Christian life. Ladies and gentlemen, I invite you to look at these three things with me this morning. And the first thing I'm going to say is, if we're going to keep the victory this summer of 2015, we're going to have to forget the past. We forget our past faults. Words where we fail the Lord. If you're not careful when you fail the Lord or when you do something stupid or blow your testimony or maybe say something at work you shouldn't say, the devil gets you down. And when he gets you down, he put his foot on your neck and holds you down. You can't go back and undo what's done. There's no way. It's impossible. You say, well, Brother Danny, I just really messed up and I'm just all down and out about it. I just can't serve God. I just messed up. You can't wallow around like that forever. You've got to realize, hey, the past is the past. There ain't nothing I can do about it. I can't change it. Just turn the page and go on. Listen, you can't go back and live winter over. You can't go back to last summer. You can't go back. You can't go back to yesterday. If you picked up a broom in your house yesterday and swept, there's no way you can ever change that. You can't go back. You can't turn the clock back. It's done. What's done is done. What you've done is done. What you didn't do will never be done. Yesterday is gone. Too many people let the failures of yesterday and the fears of tomorrow rob them of the joy of serving God today. Are you listening? Too many people let the failures of yesterday and the fears of tomorrow rob them of the joy of serving God today. I want to tell you something this morning. There ain't nothing I can do about yesterday. It's gone. There ain't nothing I can do about tomorrow. It ain't got here yet. But I tell you what, I can shout and rejoice and enjoy the Lord today. I can be saved today. I can be happy today. I can enjoy being right with God today. I can get right. You can come to the altar today. You can't come to the altar last Sunday. It's gone. You can't come to the altar next Sunday. It ain't here. You can come today. You can come up here this morning and get your life on this altar and get right with God and make a new start today. And I tell you what I believe. I believe just about everybody in here needs to do that. I believe probably 90% of the people in this room today needs to be on this altar. And we need to say, God, I'm going to rededicate my life to You this morning. And I'm going to make a new fresh start. And by Your grace, I'm going to forget where I failed You. And I'm going to move on and press toward the mark of the high calling of God. Listen, this ain't for the squeamish people. I mean, listen, if you ain't got no fight in you, you'll never last long in this war. There's going to be a forgetting of the past. Our past failures. You may have failed miserably. You may have done something you thought you'd never do. You may have gotten in some kind of sin that you never thought you'd get into. And you may have just blew it. You may have been hurt.
You may have been through a divorce. You may have been through some kind of physical sickness. You may have lost your job. You may have went through some kind of life-changing experience this past year, and it just knocked you down. That's what the devil does. He'll take your failures and your defeats, and he'll knock you down. And then when he gets you down, he'll put his foot on your neck. You know what Paul said? Forgetting those things which are behind. Forget them. Ain't nothing you can do about it. You can't do it. You can't go back and play the game over. The game's done. It's gone. Might as well reach out and see what God's got for you this summer. You know how many times Michael Jordan took the last shot of a game and missed it? 26. 26 times they was tied, or time was running out, and they said, "All right, you take it," and he missed it. But you never hear, you see them five or six that he hit on the highlights all the time, missed it 26 times. And sometimes we think, "Well, I failed the Lord. Well, I've done something I wasn't supposed to. I messed around. I said I would never do that again, and I did it. And I slipped back into sin, and I backslid a little bit." Then the devil put his hand. Listen, Michael Jordan didn't quit. He went right back out there the next game. He went right. You know, the devil will tell you, since you're a failure, you might as well quit. Since you done backslid this far, why don't you just... That's the devil talking to you. That ain't the Lord telling you that. The Lord ain't saying give up. The Lord's saying hit it again. The Lord's saying do it. And the devil will say, "There ain't no use in you getting right with God, because you know you'll just backslide again." The Holy Ghost don't talk like that, people. I mean, listen, we all fight the flesh. We all fight the devil. We all fight the world. I don't know about you this morning, but I believe as we go into this summer here in the next few weeks, we need to all be on the altar. I just sort of, in the last couple of days, said, "Lord, I want to live right this summer. I want to serve you. I don't want to fail the Lord. I want my light to shine. I want the Holy Ghost on my family and my friends and our church and our youth camp. I want the power of God." Listen, we got to forget our failures and move on to the future and what God's got for us. Our past fame. You not only forget your past failures, you better forget your past fame. You don't live off yesterday's blessings, and you don't live off yesterday's failures. Listen, a lot of times we think, "Well, we failed in the past." Then you know, you meet a lot of people, they're always trying to live off yesterday's blessings. "Boy, I remember when God did this. And boy, I remember when it was like that. And boy, I remember the good old days. And boy, I remember when people shouted. And boy, I like to do that once in a while." But we can't live off past blessings. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't sit here this morning and say, "Well, I just remember when old sister so-and-so used to shout, and then it just ain't the same no more." Well, maybe you ought to shout. Maybe it's your turn. Maybe it's my turn. Maybe it's our turn to be the big boys and the bigger and be the strong ones and pull up this younger generation. You can't live off last year's blessings. You can't live off last year's battles. You can't live off last year's failures. You just well make up your mind, "I'm going to live right. I'm going into the summer 2015. Some of y'all weak. As you bust route down, make up your mind. Don't say, "Well, I'm just thinking about quitting." No. God don't call quitters. God don't call us to quit. You say, "Well, Brother Danny, the devil's got me down. I'm just about that far from just giving up." No! Forget the things that are behind. Reach forth to what's ahead. God may have the biggest blessing ever waiting on you just right down the road somewhere. And don't give up, and just get what God wants you to get. Amen? That's right. Not only that, we're to face the prospects. We're to forget the past. We're to face the prospects. Reaching forth. There's a new day ahead, y'all. There's a new day ahead. Amen? That's right. There's a new day ahead. Hey, lady, one time, this man was praying, and he's praying the Lord would help him. He thought, "I'll sound real religious." And he said, "Lord, have compassion on a lost and dying world." And he said, the Lord spoke to him. He said, "I've already done that. I had compassion on a lost and dying world. I came down there and died for you. Now you go have compassion on a lost and dying world." Well, that's good, isn't it? That's good. Instead, listen, God's already had compassion on a lost and dying world. Let's have compassion on a lost and dying world. We met people yesterday. When we went visiting, we met people over and over and over and over and over. Lord have mercy. But somebody needs to have compassion. You know what the biggest sin of churches is today? All we care about is us and our little family and our little circle of friends. And as long as we're all right, we don't care about the rest of the world. Ladies and gentlemen, somebody's out there used to be what you used to be. Somebody's out there a little Danny like I was when I was 17 and 18. We ought to have compassion on a lost world. Well, I look around here this morning and I see young man like this young man right here. Raise your hand there, bro. Raise your hand. See this young man right here? He's comes to the apartments over here. He's deaf. And he comes to church and he can hear me, can't you? He knows what I'm saying. He knows, it's getting good, ain't it? Amen. And you know what? These girls went over and found him in the apartments. David, that's his name? David. And y'all make him welcome. But you know what? There's people everywhere. There's people everywhere. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. We need to face the prospects. We need to have compassion on the world. I found out that one of the best ways that I can keep myself right with God is consistently care about somebody else that don't have what we have. Consistently. Make yourself witness. If you feel yourself, let's say, this just came on my mind. I wasn't planning on saying this. If you feel yourself flinching a little bit, you know, after the youth rally, you was fired up, ready to go, you was witnessing, you put a bumper sticker on your car, and all that, and then you washed your car and just conveniently forgot to put it back on after a month or two. You know that feeling, don't you? You know, when you get ready to put that sticker on your car, and a little voice says, now don't you think that might be a little bit, that's the devil talking to you. He done that to me the other day. Can I be human with you for a second? The other day, we play ball every Tuesday night up there, them guys. Wesley's dad gets the gym up there in Marion. And I always try to wear a t-shirt to witness. You're going to be around people, might as well witness. And I wore my youth rally Jesus Saves t-shirt the week before and washed it. Sometimes I don't even wash them. No, I'm just kidding. Sweat washes them out. If you wring it out, get it. But I was getting ready to go play ball, and I reached to grab that shirt, and I said, I'm going to wear that shirt. And a little boy said, now you wore that last week, and don't you think that might be a little pushy? You ever heard that voice? Come on now. You say, Brother Danny, you're big, bold Brother Danny. You ain't supposed... I heard it. I was tempted to pull out a shirt that said... That Debbie bought me. It said run on the front. It's not a bad shirt. It said run on the front. But then I thought, who is that telling me not to wear that shirt with Jesus Saves on it? Do you ever feel yourself flinch a little bit like that? That's the devil talking to you, y'all. Some yous eat up with that kind of belief. You say, well, I don't want people to think I'm... Yeah, I know. Yeah, that ain't the devil telling you to do it. It's the devil telling you to back off. The devil gets real religious when we get on fire for God. Now, don't you think somebody... You shouldn't shout. You shouldn't raise your hand in church. Somebody might think... They might think you're a fanatic. All right, listen, brother. Listen, it ain't... In the summer of 2015, it ain't no time to back up. It ain't no time to back off. I'm not saying being a smart aleck. I'm not talking about being a push something down somebody's throat. I ain't talking about that. I'm just saying when you feel yourself flinch a little bit, you know you need to be a witness for the glory of God. There's glory ahead. There's God ahead. There's gain ahead. Amen. We're just, listen, the Bible said, I reckon that the present suffering, this present time, are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. There's God ahead. There's glory ahead. There's gain ahead. I believe in the summer of 2015, we're not going to lay down. We're not going to just say, oh well, we tried and so-and-so quit and so-and-so backslid. And might as well just give up my bus. No, 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 no. He said, forget He said, forget what's behind. Let's make a new start today. You say, well, Brother Danny, I've made a new start 1,000 times. I have to. I'm ready for 1,001. Let's start all over today. Let's rededicate our life today. Let's make a fresh start today. I know once while you run into one of these super saints. I talked to somebody one time and I said something about rededicating their life. He said, well, you wouldn't have to rededicate it if you ever dedicated to start with. Hey, run into one of those smart alecks like that once in a while. Let me tell you something, buddy. I've rededicated my life 1,000 times. And I'm as sincere. I put my sincerity up against anybody in here or anybody. I'm sincere, brother, as the day is long. And I fail the Lord a many a time. I fail well to just once in a while say, Lord, I'm starting anew. I'm starting afresh. I'm confessing I'm getting right. I'm making a new fresh start today and face the prospects. Number three, we fight for the prize. The enemy is against us. We fight the good fight of faith. Our foe is subtle. Subtle. How do we fight the good fight of faith? Three ways. We're faithful to church, we're faithful to the call, and we're faithful to Christ. We're faithful to the church, we're faithful to the call. All three of those are wrapped up in one. If you do one of them three, you automatically will do all three of them. If you're faithful to church, you're faithful. You'll be faithful to the Lord, probably. If you be faithful to the Lord, you'll be faithful to church. Now, I know it's summertime. I know the weather's pretty. And I know it's picnic time. I understand all that. I understand. I love it too. But you can feel a pull on you this time of year that you don't feel no other time. There's more people quit church this time of year than any other time of the year. You know why? Because you think it's been winter forever and the weather's finally pretty. And they say, well, let's go. We work all week. Saturday and Sunday's the only day we got to do this. Let's go to the mountain. Let's go to the lake. Let's go. I'm going to tell you now. I'm going to tell you, and some of you ain't going to like it. Some of you ain't going to like what I'm going to say. But I'm telling you as your friend, listen, you need every single church service you can be in, and your kids need every single church service you can be in. You say, well, don't bother me, preacher. What about your kids? Ladies and gentlemen, our kids need every single bit of preaching and singing that we can possibly get inside them. Hear me this morning. Listen to what I'm saying. Don't be it. You're going to be a casualty. You're going to be left out. You're going to be left behind. There's people you sit right there that ain't here. There's people you sit right there that ain't here. Right there that ain't here. You know what happened? They let up just a little bit. Nobody backslides overnight. Tell you a couple of stories. A man asked a farmer one time how his cows got out and got lost. And the man said, well, the way my cows get lost is, cows like a little clump of pretty green grass. And they look over there and there's another clump. So they go over here and they nibble. And look over there and there's another clump. And they go over there and nibble. Just a little nibble. And then they go over there and nibble. And then they come over here and nibble. Finally, there's a hole in the fence. Boy, that grass over on the other side of the fence, it really looks good to a cow. And they get through that hole and nibble. Finally, get off out there in the woods and get lost, get killed, get hurt by a predator, gets away from the farm, gets lost, maybe get hit by a car, gets all messed up. You know what? They didn't just right here the herd and then just go jump out there and get lost. It was a little nibble. A little nibble. And a little nibble. Everybody listen to me. I'm burdened for you this morning. I was up to 12:30 this morning. Finally went to sleep on the floor praying for y'all. Read your names off. I'm burdened for you. I'm scared for some of y'all. It's a little nibble. And a little nibble. You don't just quit church all at once. You just get a little nibble. A little movie. You ain't that far away. A little taste of alcohol. You ain't that far away. A little trip somewhere. And a little this. And then you go somewhere you shouldn't be going. And then you're watching stuff on TV that you ain't got no business watching. And then you're looking at stuff on that internet that you have no, that a person has no business looking at. And you're just nibbling. You're just nibbling. I'm warning you this morning, you'll never make it through the summer if some of y'all don't get a grip. Listen, Can you hear me this morning? I'm just going to talk plain to you out of my heart. Listen, there's more. People are so crazy about having fun. When I first started preaching, people would go on vacation, they'd leave on Monday, and they said, "We'll be back Saturday night because we don't want to miss church." I mean, I did it like that for years and years and years. I'm not against vacation. I'm not against you going somewhere. I understand. I ain't stupid. I know you got kinfolks. I know you don't want to do it. I understand that. But this 18 times a year taking off said, "Well, we work all week and make our money. Forget the Lord. Forget His house. Forget. We're going to do what we want to. God ain't in that kind of stuff." People, there's more important things than pleasure. There's more important things than a paycheck. There's more important things than just enjoying the day. Get God first. Put the Lord first. He'll bless you for it. The devil is not afraid of a Bible that's got dust on it. If both father and mother are faithful to church, 72% of the time the kids are when they grow up. If only dad comes to church, 55% of the kids are when they grow up. If only only the woman comes, 15% chance your kids will stay in church when they get big. If neither are, it's below 6. I'm so tore up about people's lives. You just think a little won't hurt. Every now and then's all right. That ain't what God said in the Bible. Charles Spurgeon said, "With deep repentance and sincere faith, find your way back from your backsliding. It is your duty, for you have turned away from Him who you profess to serve. You cannot strive against Him and prosper. He can chastise since He's Almighty." Did y'all hear what I said? You will not strive against God and prosper. You ain't going to do it. You better just give up and say, "All right, Lord, I'm going to rededicate my life this morning." There was a story about what we call a foolish farmer. And this foolish farmer fed his mule oats every day. Oats for the mule to eat. One day, he sat down and he figured out the oats cost too much. So he took sawdust. He said, "I'm going to mix a little bit of sawdust in with the oats and see what happens." Well, he did, and the mule ate it, and everything seemed fine. Act like it didn't bother him a bit. He said, "Well, that works pretty good." And he couldn't resist the temptation to put a little more oats and a little less oats and a little more sawdust. And as time went on, the mule acted like everything was all right. And he kept increasing the sawdust in the oats. And while you're increasing the sawdust, you're decreasing the oats. Finally, it got more and more and more. And one day he fed it to the mule, and the mule fell over dead. Too much sawdust, not enough oats. All right, look here. When you're out of church, and you don't read your Bible, and you got the devil's fixing a little sawdust in with your diet. The Word of God, church, worship, preaching, praying, staying right with God. I don't understand some people. I've always been scared to miss church. I was scared. Even when I wasn't a preacher, I was scared. I thought, "Lord, in mercy, what if this is the time the Holy Ghost falls and great revival hits? What if this is the time the Lord does something for one of my kids?" That's why I used to make my kids, well, I didn't have to make them. They always wanted to go. I took them to camp every year of their life because I thought, this may be the time. This may be the one. This may be the service when God gets down. The devil gives you a little more sawdust and a little less oats. A little less Bible reading, a few more movies. A little less Bible room, a few more trips. A little less Bible, a few more. Till you got more sawdust than you got oats. It'll kill you spiritually. It'll kill you. A little movie, a little dance. A little lie here and there. A little flirting at work with that person you ain't married to. Just little. The devil puts you a little sawdust in there.
little taking of money that don't belong to you. Just a little bit. It starts out, he puts a little, and next thing you know, he's got you in trouble that you can't get out of. You know, I've been this way before, and I hope I can always stay that way. Uncle Bud Robinson, the old Nazarene preacher. They said one time when he was in his ministry that somebody took him to New York City. And they showed him all the beautiful sights of New York City. Now listen to what I'm fixing to tell you. This is a Christian. They said when old Bud Robinson got home that night, he got down and he prayed and he said, "Lord, I thank you that I got to see the sights of New York today. My, my, what a place." And he said, "Lord, I thank you even more that I did not see one thing that I wanted." That's a rich man right there. That's a rich man right there. Listen, if you ever get to that place where you're right with God, I mean, you know, you can go out. There's nothing wrong with enjoying life. There's nothing wrong with enjoying the mountains, picnic, and bacon. There's nothing wrong with that. But when you get to the place where you say, "Lord, there ain't nothing out there that I really want. I've got you." Whew. Have you thought about Jesus lately? Have you thought about how lovely He is? Have you thought about just how good it is to be saved? And has the devil sort of smudged your globe where your light don't shine as good? I mean, brother, the heavens declare His glory. I mean, the firmament showeth His handiwork. I mean, no means of measure can define His limitless love. No far-reaching telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of His shoreless supply. No barriers can hinder Him from pouring out His blessings. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. He's God's Son. He's the sinner's friend. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unprecedented. He's supreme. He's preeminent. He's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the greatest of the great. He's your best friend. He's everything if you'll just let Him be that way for you today. The fundamental doctrine of true theology is Jesus Christ. The supreme subject of higher criticism is the Lord Jesus Christ. The necessity for true religion. He's the miracle of the ages. He can supply all of our needs simultaneously with no problem at all. He gives strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and tried. He had no predecessor. He'll have no successor. There was nobody before Him, and ain't gonna be nobody after Him. Ain't nobody like Him. You can't impeach Him, and He's not going to resign. He's always going to be there. We're going to live with Him forever and ever and ever. Let's just enjoy being saved and start off this summer right with God where we need to be. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give an invitation in a minute. I'm going to get down here. And I'm going to say, "Lord, help me to be what You want me to be this summer." And then I'm going to ask everybody who's sincere. We're going to meet at 5:30 this evening, early, and have prayer meeting for youth camp, for God to touch our young people, and for us. Anybody in here does not need that? Would you raise your hand if you do not need that? That's what I thought. We do. You say, "Brother Danny, I sort of want to get out and get wild." Well, you're fixing to get in big trouble, and you'll come back crying one of these days. I'm telling you, you're fixing to mess up. When your flesh is screaming, wanting to do something wrong, you better get some help. You better fast. You better pray. Talk to me. Talk to some of these other preachers. Get some help, friend. You're fixing to backslide. I wonder how many would meet me here this evening. Come at 5:30, and we'll spend about 30 minutes in prayer before the service tonight. You say, "Well, I don't want to." That's the sure sign that I'm right, and that's what we need. That exactly proves what the reason. If you really wanted to, you probably wouldn't need to that much. The fact that I don't want to proves I need to. It's so easy to get backslid. So easy. You know, being backslid is like you're already there before you know it. You don't think, "Oh boy, I'm backsliding." You just one day think, "Good night, how did I get here? How did I wind up doing this? I can't believe I've done this. I used to think this was awful." you don't even realize it. When the weather's nice, all your families want to go somewhere. Don't be a C&E Christian. What's a C&E Christian? Christmas and Easter. Make up your mind. You'll stay right with the Lord. Our invitation this morning is to every one of us rededicate our life. And then everybody that will, meet me here at 5:30. If you're serious about serving God, meet me here at 5:30 this evening. And let's pray before the service tonight. Amen. Let's stand by our heads for prayer. Every head bowed.